Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Butts UK podcast. We're at episode 77, and we're going to be dissecting what was certainly, say, at least a tough loss against the Steelers. I'm hosting this one. My name is Alex. I've got Phil, Graham, and Hi. Adam. Hello, gents.
Hello.
Thanks for joining me. Good to see you three. So we've got a lot to discuss after the game on Sunday. Adam, I'm not sure where you're going to start, but I will throw it to you. Give us your overall thoughts and feelings from Sunday.
Where do you start? It is a disappointing game. And the way I feel, it's worse than a disappointing game because we've been disappointed before in losses, like the Giants game a couple of years back. And I can cope with a disappointing loss, but this feels like I'm kind of worried for the future. That's the way I kind of feel about this. It's a little bit more than just angry because we lost and we missed a kick to win the game or anything. This is like the future is unclear about how good we can be with this line and, you know, what have you. So I'll chuck it back to you guys. What do you think?
You don't think anyone else is going to say anything different, do you?
Well, everybody's doom and gloom, but and all saying that Brady's this and Brady's that, but I don't agree with any of it. At the end of the day, you know, there's a reason why NFL teams pay massive contracts out to O-line players. You haven't got a successful O-line, you've got nothing. And you, let's just look where the Buccaneers, for 2 years, Tom Brady's had one of the best O-lines in football. And then this year we lost Capra and Marpet. Now, in addition to this, that we lost the two backup, in inverted commas, O-line players, which is Gronkowski and OJ Howard. Mm-hmm. So, okay, right, we've lost all those players, so we plug in the gaps. Before we could blink, we'd lost Jensen and Stinney. So, you know...
Nightmare.
A total nightmare. And, you know, until, with the greatest respect, next man up, aren't good enough. And let's be quite honest, it's hardly surprising because there aren't that many spare or good O-line players about. You know, I mean, I've read all these criticism of Tom Brady. Tom Brady's doing a good job of keeping hold of the ball because that's a new thing he's having to do in his game plans, to keep hold of the ball and keep it safe. And with the greatest of respect, until we get those two back, I can't, or we can plug some more people into that line, then
don't get me wrong. My criticism wasn't towards Tom Brady. If it was Tom Brady's bad game, then like I say, I would be happy with the disappointment of loss. But this is more, you know, like what the hell can Tom Brady do with this O-line, which is scaring me. That's the worry for me, is that
it's difficult to blame Tom Brady when he's one interception.
You can't blame him.
No. I mean, the big concern for me with this O-line, and we'll just stick with the O-line as we want it, is he's just getting absolutely no time in that pocket. He is getting absolutely mullered. And we all know that Brady is, and he's got time to read the game, not when he's getting absolutely whitewashed by defenders. He's not mobile. I mean, he never was. But what is he, 45 now? He's certainly not as he needs big help up there.
He's not extending any plays.
Massive, you know.
To be honest with you, though, I still think as bad as that game, the perception of that game was, you know, I think that's the first time that we've had all three sides of the game just not really working very well. It's been either the offense, the defense, or the special teams. It was all of them this week, and still, despite that, we're 3 points or a kick away from winning the game. You know, we're never out of that game. And I'll be honest with you, I thought right up until the very end there that we were going to win that game. When they made that 3rd and 15 completion, starting to think then, oh, now we're in trouble. But, you know, if we got off the field in that 3rd and long, you know, Brady gets the ball back, maybe about the 40, 50-yard line, and you're going to get a field goal and win that game. So as bad as it was, we're a kick away from winning.
I mean, and you say we were a kick away from winning, which I agree with there with you, Graham. But I think about I think it was Otten. He dropped. No, sorry, no, it was Brait. Sorry, in the first quarter, if I remember correctly, where he had it was tipped away. But you just think if that pass had just been slightly there, you know, that's the touchdown that wins us the game.
I mean, I think you get that every game, every play, every game. You'll get something like that. They'll probably have half a dozen of those. Every team will have half a dozen of those in every game. But I mean, at the end of it all, you've only lost by 2 points. In a game where we think we have played a horrific performance, but we're still within 2 points, and it's just not quite clicking. Not quite clicking across the board.
We've been in every game this season that we've lost. Last year, we were doing exactly the same thing, but we were winning. And the problem is your memory fades when you've won a game. Yeah. Oh, we won that one. Yeah, great. But I don't think we're very far away. And, you know, I it's in Tom We Trust and all that. And I think we will get it right. Well, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know where we're going to have all 11 players on the O-line and what we're going to do. But I'm sure Tom Brady's the consummate professional, and he will get it right. You know, I totally think we'll eventually turn it around. And I think people are writing us off. It's a complete joke, absolute joke. I really do. You know. If I had to be disappointed in anybody, it would be the coaching staff. The lack of creativity.
That's a great word.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Creativity is just, you know. I mean, if we had a competition in the club and said, right, okay, what's the first running play going to be? I guarantee
we're all 100%
would get it right. You know,
up the gut.
You can guarantee their defence knows that.
I mean, did anybody see a slant pass on Sunday? No, anybody? It was hardly anything like that.
Slant? What's those? Never heard of them. Don't know what they are.
Yeah. our playbook at the moment is worse than vanilla.
Oh, it's horrendous.
Like, there's about five plays. There's a run up the gut. There's about three or four passes behind the sticks. There's a couple of balls out to Lenny. And that's Tom Brady being incredibly clever. That is, he is, you know, truth bomb. He is not. Yeah, I know. He's a clever guy. Like. The reason he's getting out to Lenny is because it's either the pocket collapsing, or, you know, I remember Sam Darnold when he had that rookie, and there was that big thing about him saying, "I'm seeing ghosts." This is what it looks to me that Tom Brady's seeing now, because I think he's lost a little bit of confidence, or a little bit. He's clearly lost confidence in the O-line. Almost his first second read is just quick, get it out to Lenny straight away, just to survive, and that's smart play by Tom, but it's brutal to watch.
So Adam, Phil.
I was going to say confidence in the O-line. I don't think I'll come back from that wedding and see what just went on.
I know.
On Sunday with the O-line, I think I'd have stayed there. I think.
I know. You got more days off than Santa Claus, Tom. Brady,
Adam, you were saying about Brady there. I mean, something that really stood out for me there, though, and this isn't just Brady, this is everyone offensively, is the miscommunication was painful. You know, some of these, I know we're saying that he's got no trust in the O-line. Well, that's certainly what it looks like anyway. And he's just trying to survive on that field. But some of the passes he was making, even when he did have time in the pocket, some of them were nowhere near a receiver. That is just bad play.
It is bad play, but you're going to get those in every game. So like we were saying earlier, some of those throws are going to happen. He's not going to be 100% every single time. It's just in that game and with that line, everything just seemed to... It was rough sledding.
Yeah, I think his timing was just out because he was under such pressure, or at least he imagined he was under pressure. If he wasn't, he probably thought there was somebody just about to clobber him and got the passes away a bit too quickly.
That's it.
Yeah, that's what happens. That's what happens.
So do you think, Graham, that we saw something which I don't think has ever been seen in Tom Brady's career, but a nervous Tom Brady?
I don't know, maybe. But again, you have to look at...
It's my job to ask the questions. Yeah, I've seen people laughing.
Well, you have to look at the fact, you can say what you like about him. He's got 8 touchdowns and 1 interception. He protects the ball. Now, if he'd thrown 7 or 8 interceptions due to the amount of pressure he'd been under, we'd be losing these games by 15, 20 points. You know,
correct.
He protects the ball and he keeps us in the game. Punt it away. We've got a good defense most of the time. You know, let them come back at us, get the ball back and start again, rather than throw the ball away to them inside our 20 or 30 yard line and they score a touchdown. He protects the ball for me and he keeps us in the games. And that's it. You know, I don't pin any of this in Tom Brady, to be honest.
No, you're 100% right there, because if we were watching this 3 years ago and Jameis was the quarterback, we would have seen four picks instead of Dump Box, whoever the running back is, you know, bloody Charles Sims back in the day and Doug Martin. This would have been a four interception game if we had a different quarterback. So I can understand that Tom Brady is doing this to save himself, to save the team. And like you said, we were in it, 2 points in it.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing we can't. Well. Yeah, definitely. Definitely, Phil. And one thing we can't deny is Tom Brady's decision making in terms of protecting the ball and, you know, ensuring the interceptions aren't there, it's still as good as it ever has been. As you say, that, you know, keeping us in the game and saving us in the game there. Something I did notice, and I don't know who wants to come in on this. I'm just going to throw this out there, guys. But something I've noticed throughout the season is generally how we start the games is not as quick as it could be. We do see a lot of three and outs.
Understatement of the year.
Understatement. I'm being kind there. but one thing that I did notice, and read into this what you will, but Brady's first completed pass didn't come until 6:51 left on the clock in the first quarter. Now, I know Pittsburgh had a really good drive and they ate a lot of time off the clock. I know that. But we had the ball first and couldn't get anything going. So we had to wait almost 10 minutes to see Tom Brady actually make a completed pass.
Yeah.
I think with the greatest respect, you're talking about the last three seasons. We all seem to be every single game we seem to be doing. Even the year we won the Super Bowl, we seem to do as well. But, you know, it's a long season. It's a long, long season. And how many teams have I seen over the years? It's like the Eagles. They start undefeated, they off they go. And come to the playoffs, they fade. They fade.
Well, it even takes just an injury, doesn't it?
We weren't very far from the Super Bowl last year. We had loads of injuries last year. We weren't very far off the Super Bowl and we didn't start particularly well. But those one possession games that we've lost this season were one possession wins last year. And that's the difference, you know.
It will. But there's something
one little stat. Oh, go on.
Oh, no, go ahead. I'm going to save it. No, go for it.
I was going to say, there's just one little stat that I don't like, but I understand why we've got this stat. That Leonard Fournette is our leading receiver.
Yes.
On a team with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, and, you know, the list goes on. Mm. And I don't know. I know Brady has made a living throwing it to the receiver, to the running backs, but he hasn't had the receivers in those teams that he's got in this team. So I wish there was some way Leftwich could flick a few pages through the offense, through the book, and try and find a way to get it to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Open. Why do they always
It's all about giving Brady time.
It is. It's
time to get open. And if that's not happening, he's just going to dump it off to Lenny or whoever.
But just a minute. Dump it
off to Evans.
Yeah, but your thing is, when you've got two players marking Mike Evans, and then you've got Godwin well marked, you were relying on Mr. Antonio Brown last year, who kept fit. And was very dependable. Mm. This year, we've got Julio Jones, who, what a surprise, is injured again, and Russell Gage, who I'll have to say he is coming back a bit more into it. Mm. But we always had the Antonio Brown, and we had the Gronk one as well. We had the Antonio Brown, we had the Gronk thing. This year, you know, although I do like Orton, I think he's going to come.
He's looking good. He's looking good, isn't he? Okay. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Well, the problem you've got there is with Brayton injured, suddenly he's going to have to become more of a receiver than an O-line player, isn't he? Yeah. So,
I mean, it'll be very interesting to see Otten, though. I know he's only a rookie, but what I have seen since he's come in, it's been really, really good. Let's have a chat about defense. Hopefully, we can talk. No, okay, I thought that might be. I mean, I'll come to you, but I mean, I think Adam and I disagree. Yes, defense didn't have a great game, but they did keep us in it at the end of the day, Graham.
Yeah, and I'll give you another stat, right? Here's another one. I got this from Greg Oman in the Athletic. The league average for third down and 9-plus yards for completions is 11.6%. It's 1 in 9. And last on Sunday, the Steelers did it four times, including three in a row in the fourth quarter, third and nine plus.
And criminal.
Just yeah, there is that. You cannot, if you let the other team keep moving the chains and third position, you know, third downs, then it's
you're not winning. Any games.
We were 0 for 6 and 4 plus yards, 0 for 6.
Yeah, I'm going to do a bit of a deep dive into this stat because I think I said on the forum, it's easier for our opponents to make third and 15. You know, they can convert third and 15. They find that easier than we can convert a third and 1.
Because we keep playing soft coverage on it every time. We're dropping so deep.
And also we keep blitz. You know, there's a time to blitz and a time not to blitz. And, you know, it just leaves them wide open.
I'm saying that even on a couple of those third and longs on Sunday there, I think Brian Baldinger's picked a few hits in it and the coverage was all over the place. Yeah. They were absolutely all over the place. They're all looking at each other. I thought you hit him, you know, kind of stuff. So I don't know what's going on there. That's a real strange one. But when Devin White and Lavonte David are standing arguing with each other 15 yards into the backfield, then you've got a problem.
Not looking good. Adam, I am going to come back to you with this one. The phrase I'm going to use is shooting ourselves in the foot. Any ideas what I might be referring to on that in particular? There's these wonderful yellow things that go flying over the field quite a bit.
Oh, my favourite little flags.
Your favourite little flags.
Yeah, my favourite little flags.
I mean,
yeah, this was beyond flags.
There were some really stupid ones. I mean, I look at the Devin White one where he got, I mean, it was harsh. He got flagged for roughing the passer. I mean,
you get in it every game.
I know, but it's. I mean, you could argue that White had plenty of time that he could have stopped himself, but it was a really soft, pathetic penalty as well.
I think when your team gets frustrated with all the, you're a better team than what you're putting up, you do get penalties like that, and it's just pure frustration, you know. You're winning games and you're doing well. Those penalties don't normally come, but I just felt it was pure frustration on Sunday.
I think they're doing pretty well. I know it doesn't appear that all the time. Until it gets to these third and longs. And then the confidence that must sap, giving up third and 15, third and 11, third and 15, must be horrendous. But like when we used to watch Jameis and he used to drop back, throw it up in the air. And you know that feeling where you were like, oh my God, it's going to be a pick. I get that feeling watching third and longs now. I'm like, oh my God, I'm watching their quarterback dropping back and I'm just thinking, oh, they're going to make it third and 15. It's the same feeling as when I'm watching Jameis throwing picks.
Well, as I said earlier on, with all the blitz packages and zone coverages, unfortunately, this is the penalty you pay.
But here's a big, maybe it's not a big question because I've got strong views on this, but I think a lot of people disagree with me on this. So I want to hear, Graham, I'd like to hear your, I haven't pre-warned you about this question. So just what comes to your head here? I think we are missing massive players from our defense last season. And we haven't really replaced them. I genuinely believe that's hitting us more than some people think.
I think it shows that there aren't a lot of turnovers at this point. I think in a game like that, when they were passing, you know, going for third and 15, third and 11, third and 12, no great pressure on the quarterback. We're not getting regular sacks. We're not getting enough pressure, so the ball's not up in the air. And we're not getting turnovers. And I think that's what happens. I think, maybe you can blame it on, obviously, the two or three players, JPP and Sue, not there anymore. And, you know, we're still waiting on Joe Tryon to kind of step up. He's kind of getting there. He's always very close, never quite getting the sack. I think there's a lack of pressure on the other quarterbacks. It's been evident most games, certainly five out of six games, I think, we've not done that. That's where we get turnovers from. That's what we needed on Sunday there, very much so.
Do you think Bowl should give up the play calling?
Good question.
Ooh.
Good question.
How are you?
Who's going to answer that?
I'm not brave enough to answer. I mean, you could argue there is an argument for it, isn't there? Because yes, he's a defensive-minded coach, But he's now the head coach of the team, isn't he? You know, he's not focusing. I mean, I'm assuming he's still focused on the defense, of course, but he's got to give his time to other areas of the team as well. You know, maybe we might benefit from Todd Bowles not play calling. It's a very fair point, though, Adam. I don't know. It's very, very fair point.
Should he give up play
calling? Absolutely. Yeah, yes.
That was predictable.
Right. I do want to talk about something positive. I want to talk about Antoine Winfield Jr. Yeah, I want to talk about positive now. Phil, I thought he was superb on Sunday.
Absolutely superb. Can I just go back to what you're saying about, just very briefly about...
Absolutely. Sorry about it. I'm not going to talk about
him. Yeah. Sue and JPP. I think most people here are remembering what those two players used to be like, not particularly what they were like. I mean, they were coming to the end of their careers. And don't forget, the player, big player we signed to actually take these out was Hicks, and he's hurt. So, you know, I think we're just being a little bit... Everybody...
Yeah, but can't... The problem with that is, and you can't say, oh, Julio Jones are surprised he's injured, and then stick up for Akeem Hicks. It's a nightmare. I wish...
Phil, I'm
obviously,
gonna...
I wish there was no injuries.
Yeah. Phil, I'm gonna disagree with you on that, because I personally felt that even last season, Sue and JPP gave that penetration that meant Veya could be an absolute monster. Now, we're not seeing really that from Veya this season. I think that's because he doesn't quite have those big players or big game changing players that can really help him there. With the magic of wrestling. No, I know. Yes. Special teams. Yes. Thank you, Phil. Took the words right out of my mouth. I thought they were pretty good. Adam, what? I mean, suck up, reliable as ever.
Truth bomb. Yeah, suck up is the only good thing about special teams. Everything else is awful. We got it. Keith Armstrong has got a lot of work to do. Like, I don't know whether. If we're talking about heads rolling and people are pointing to Leftwich to give up a play calling or get fired, Keith Armstrong, for me, needs to double what he's doing now. I don't know what the hell.
The only way you notice... Go on, sorry.
Yeah, go on. I was going to say is I can't call Suck Up success anything to do with Keith Armstrong. Suck Up's doing that by himself. The rest of it, Keith Armstrong needs to do something.
A return game would be nice.
Well, did anybody notice that White started doing a few returns and Darden didn't? I mean, and he also went in the right direction as opposed to backwards. I thought White did, you know, showed a little bit of thing, but you know, there's no creativity and you know, he's still. You know. And as for the special team, did anybody see that guy Sims earlier running for a touchdown? I don't call that very clever, quite honest.
Might have seen something like that.
When Dave Davis got back and it wasn't for Davis tackling him, it would have.
Yes, that was great. Yeah. That was great tracking by Davis. At least he didn't give up with that. But
so
that,
I'm, that I'm with out. I'm with Adam's truth, Bob. And if I got a dinger, I'd ding it as well. Yeah.
Right, let's think about our magic wands then, gents. What I mean, I think you could probably have about 5 magic wands each, really. So, Adam, I'll come to you last, so you can choose which one you want to use. I think you've probably got 5 or 10 you can choose from. Graham, what do you want to see change, fixed, worked on? Any word you want to throw in there before
I'm Carolina? I'm guessing we're all going to have the same magic wands on offensive line. Magic wand, bing. It's got to work. They've got to figure out how to use the guys better. They've got to figure out how to use the tight ends better. I mean, Pittsburgh rushed 4 and caused us all sorts of problems. We weren't even blitzing all over the place. They were rushing 4. I mean, how can 5 lose out to 4 so often, you know? So the offensive line, for me, it all starts there. If we can fix the offensive line, I think we've got a chance against anyone. And I think Carolina are pretty poor this year, you know. They've got a lot of injuries as well, and I'm not one to tempt fate, but we'll come to talking about them. But you know, I think if we've got the offensive line working reasonably well, we'll do okay.
Bill, what's your magic wand?
My magic wand is I think we need to get on the I-4 up to Disney, get all the Tinkerbell from Peter Pan thing, bring her back, and sprinkle some pixie dust on both Jensen and Stinney and get them back. That's what I'd like to see, be quite honest. So the O-line might stand half a chance then. Oh, dear.
It is that. Like, it is that. We need to get our O-line fixed. Yeah. The only That's thing I will is. Say is that...
It, I think on. It's the start and end of it. You've got everything. You've got Brady looking over his shoulder, understandably, trying to protect the ball. And you've got to think some of these conservative plays might be because of the O-line.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
We get fixed that, we're off.
Yeah, 100%.
And Adam, have you chosen?
I'm going to go with the plague stick. I want everyone in the Carolina Panthers to get injured, just so we have a breather for a week while we sort everything out. I just want serious injuries. I want to spring back a week later, but just for this 1 week.
We should be okay with McCaffrey. He's usually injured, is he not?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I know. Just give us one easy week just to sort things out.
I really wish you'd never said that. I can see it now. So
for me, I agree with what you guys said. I can't really agree with Adam about players being injured, so I'll have to sort of gloss over that one.
Illness. Let's go. Illness.
Okay. Oh, that's fine. I'll go over that one.
But they'll go over the runs.
So, while I agree with what Phil, Graham and Adam have said, to an extent, we'll go illness, Adam, rather than injuries, though, just to...
That'll do.
You know, I'm just going to throw another one in there, and I would love to see some more plays come out of that playbook, just mixing things up a bit. The one time we did try some trickery, we got flagged on the play. I think that was the only time I saw it. So, it'll be nice to mix up that playbook a little bit. Right, let's hear from some of our members now and see what their thoughts were on the game. We'll start with Gary. He says, let's be honest, we are not even close to being contenders at the moment. Today was embarrassing against a very poor Steelers team. Phil says, that is up there with the worst performance of the Brady era. Awful from start to finish in every single phase of the game. And this is one of our new members, Emma. She joined very recently, joined the forum for her first game. And as we can see, thanks for my first game with you guys, but let's not do that again. I think, Emma, if you are watching, Emma, group therapy on the game threads is a common feature. So it would just be prepared for some more of those.
We're only so angry because we love the Bucks so much. If we didn't like him, we wouldn't care. So all the negativity is just us airing our frustrations.
Something else to quickly sort out now, shall we say, so to speak. We were very fortunate that Ion 8 joined up with us on Instagram to give Bucks fans a chance to win a Buccaneer licensed water bottle. So a big thanks to them for teaming us with that. And good luck to all those who have entered. We have got the wheel. The wheel is here and ready. So we're now going to spin it and find out who the lucky winner is.
Ooh.
So once again, good luck to everyone who entered. Time to find out who's that lucky winner.
Music. Still going. David Coleman.
Fantastic. There we go, David. Massive congratulations. We'll be in touch to arrange getting that prize to you. Well done to you. So we are on to that normal part of the show, but I do have to thank Butch Report for helping us to promote our podcast. They're a great bunch of guys over there. Please go and check them out. Their link is in the description below. Also, if you have not subscribed to our YouTube channel, please go and hit that subscribe button below. Turn on that bell so you're notified every time we upload. And also make sure you smash that like button, as it really, really does help us. And Phil, I'd also like you to tell people how they can join Butch UK with the right website as well will help.
Aren't you the funny one? yeah, so if you go onto our website, and all the details are actually on the website, how to join the Bucks UK. I do come along. We, you know, it's a great club, but there's over 500 members now, with competitions and good forums and the watch parties, which are actually proving to be legendary. So yeah, please come along and join us. Have a good time.
Are you brave enough to say the website, Bill, or shall I do it?
You do, because I'm not doing it again. I'm playing this straight.
He's throwing the toys at
no, I'm refusing to do it now after that. Yeah.
So, for those of you who are wondering, our website is www.bucksuk.org. That's where you can find all the information there. Please come and join us if you are a Buccaneer fan living in the UK. It'll be great to have you as part of Bucks UK. Okay, gentlemen, let's move on to the final part of the show, which is, of course, discussing the Buccaneers' next game on Sunday, a trip to Carolina this time. Phil, what's your keys to that game on Sunday against the Panthers?
Be quite honest, I think it's going to be the start of bouncing back a bit, be quite honest. I mean, they are a very, very poor team and they've got a lot of injuries. And I honestly think that you know, we're going to start bouncing back. Brady, you've got to trust in Tom. Trust in Tom. I honestly think we're going to start winning back.
Definitely. I think some raised some very good points there, Phil. Adam, how about you? What do the Bucks need to do to come away from Carolina with that victory?
Oh, other than score more, concede less, which I like saying. I think they've got to try and, if the line isn't getting any better, they've got to try and work out a scheme. They've got to try and work out a play that's, or a few plays that's going to catch them off guard. Because, like Graham said earlier, the opposition, they're only bringing four and they're getting pressure. And then the rest of them can drop back into coverage, giving Tom a load of receivers that are double covered. So they've got to try and, this is Leftwich. Leftwich has got to try and come up with a plan that allows Tom to get the ball out quick. That's not just a dump off to Lenny. There needs to be something else. There needs to be something new that Carolina won't be expecting. So that's my key to the game. Just come up with something new, because we know the line's not getting better. We just need to, we need to change something up.
Graham, what about your key to the game?
I'm for my key to the game, I'm going to pin this on the defense, actually, on the defensive line, I think. McCaffrey. If McCaffrey gets over the dysentery, which Adam has wished upon him,
he won't.
He's the only guy that worries me in that Carolina team, to be honest with you. I think the Rams keyed on him the other night, you know, and just took him out of the game. And if you take him out of the game, you'll win. And this is a team that's got nothing going for it. You know, quarterbacks are two quarterbacks injured. I think they're back in the mix this week, but they haven't played much. So I think they signed 6 free agents this week. They're so badly banged up. So, you know, come on, guys, let's do this. I think offensively we'll do better. And if the defense can key in on McCaffrey, I think we'll be fine.
One thing that concerns me about what we're doing is that Fournette has got a bit of a history of being injured over the years, and we're playing him into some very, you know, rough areas as well. You know, and that concerns me, because if he goes down, that's it. We have got problems. You know, that worries me in tennis. So I'm with you. Something a bit more inventive, or start short passes as well. Something to build the confidence. You know, quick short passes. Don't just be long ones. And
yeah.
You know, yeah, I have to admit, Adam, you read my mind in terms of what my key to the game was, you know, bringing something new up. But I will put another one out there as well, just to give another viewpoint, so to speak. And we've just got to stop the penalties again. We seem to have gone back into silly penalties, flags, and we know how much they can really kill you as a team. So we just need to get that discipline back. Try not to lose our heads. I know that's easier said than done. But if we keep that discipline, don't hurt ourselves with penalties, then you're always going to give yourself a good shot at winning. So that is my key to the game there. So let's just round off this episode, gents, with our score predictions. Graham, start with you.
I'm going for 21-13 Bucks. So I think Brady will get a couple of touchdown passes. I think Lenny will be in the end zone as well. And I think our defence will stifle them to a few field goals, maybe a late touchdown, but hopefully 21-13 is the score.
Adam?
24-7 to the Bucks. I think we'll get a suck-up field goal, and I think they might get a garbage time touchdown. But I'm hoping the weekend, I don't think it's going to be an exciting game. I really am, like, worried about the direction of this O-line and what Brady can do with this O-line. Because we know he's not extending plays. He's not 40-yard running like Jalen Hurts and all that. So I'm slightly worried, but I think he's good enough. And if we can scheme some in, we can easily get a win.
Like that. And Phil, what's your score prediction?
24-17 to the Bucks.
I'm not far off yourself there, Phil. I've gone for 20-17 to the Bucks. I got a feeling it's going to be close to them.
Great minds think alike.
Absolutely, Phil. Absolutely. You know, that's why we're, well, on my screen anyway, that's why we're both at the top. No offense, Graham.
That's right.
No offense.
At least we're all picking wins.
Yeah, I'm not being the bad host and going for a loss just for the entertainment.
Imagine the day we come on here and all four of us pick a loss.
I know, against the Panthers.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, that brings us to the end of our show. Thank you, Adam, Graham, Phil. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
And thank you, guys. And thank you to you all, as usual, for tuning in. Please join us again next week for our next episode. We will be back and enjoy the game on Sunday. It's a 6 p.m. kickoff here in the UK when the Buccaneers travel to Carolina. As always, take care and go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
What do you want me to do, Kieran? Do you want me to get my magic wand again, or do you think you got it?
I think it's fine. Just take it from amoebic dysentery coming to Carolina.
Yeah, I'm going to. Wait, what? I missed everything.
Carolina
again
for the week.
Oh, Carolina get for the week. Right, okay. Right, okay. I can't say that, though, actually, can I?
Why?
Well, YouTube will.
Oops.